Hey guys, Maria Menounos here. Before your favorite AfterBuzz TV after show begins, I'm so excited to tell you that my new cookbook is out. It's called The Every Girl's Guide to Cooking. It's the quickest, fastest, easiest, most amazing recipes for kitchen newbies and chefs alike. Please check out MariaMenounos.com for more info. Buzz you later.
You're tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin! Okay.
Hey there, Grimsters! Welcome back to AfterBuzz TV's Grim After Show! We're going to talk about Key Move. Yeah, sending it everywhere. Thanks so much for joining us, guys. I'm your host, Zach Wilson. You tweet me throughout the week, throughout the show, at That's Zach Wilson. Now let me introduce you to my fantastic panel, Tari Miller, back as always.
Hey, guys! You can find me at Tari J, T-A-R-I-J-A-Y.
Yelp Teagle.
Hey, guys, I can't do it. You can find me online at Yelp Teagle, that's Y-A-E-L-T-Y-G-I-E-L. And I'm live in the chat with all of you.
And we have a special guest joining us tonight on the show. We've got Josh Chautel,
yeah,
who plays Marwan Hanaro.
Hanano.
Hanano. Oh, totally damn fine. My handwriting.
Totally fine.
I told you not to correct it.
I had it like written down so that I didn't mess it up, and I messed it up because I had it written down.
I saw a moment to embarrass him and I had to take it.
Oh yeah, fair enough.
It's always coming from that side of the table.
Yeah, that's what I
Zach,
do.
Zach, you did great. You are amazing.
That's what I'm here to do, guys.
Alright, guys. Well, Josh, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Please don't shoot anybody while you're here.
afterwards, totally fine.
Yeah, once you leave, you're at like... It's out of our hands.
I feel like we're too close range for him. Like, I feel like he probably can't.
Don't doubt me.
It's like, I'm going to shoot you. Runs down the street. Yeah.
Basketballs, beware.
Nice.
More of a football fan, personally.
Yeah. We could tell.
European football, by the way.
So soccer?
To get aimed down, yes.
I don't know sport. I love rugby.
What did you guys think of this episode? This is the 99th episode of Grimm, leading up to what is primed to be an enormous episode. What did you guys think?
Oh, I'm starting?
Oh, I mean, I can start.
Please.
I thought it was really good. There was a lot of stuff happening. It was an all mythos episode, which we love here. I thought that the whole time in, I can't, what is it called? Wolf Sock. I felt like all the Wolf Sock stuff was really fun, especially like the Nick and Monroe dynamic. We haven't seen them alone in a long time. Just having them do this adventure together was really fun.
Yeah.
The bromance.
It's a broad trip.
Broad trip! Oh, stealing my words.
I didn't come up with that. I'm going to be honest, David said that to me. So I didn't come up with that. But I loved this episode. I love that we're getting answers. I know the Natalyn fans were losing their ish over this episode. I think it was a little soon for her to drop the L word.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's totally down that they were doing it. I think the L word was a little too soon.
Yeah, I was like, all right, sex, that's fine.
Yeah.
If you're going to say that you love a person, whoa.
Too far.
Well, I mean, it's not the first time they slept together. And I appreciate, first off, the flashbacks, genius and necessary. Because I was like, what's that? Who's that? What's happening? them talking about how this is the first time she was herself. And that they meant to do it together. That was great.
Yeah.
That was nice.
Yeah. And so we're going to go through everything in this episode. We're going to get to know Marwan a little bit more than Joss being here. I'm not even going to try the last name.
Don't.
However, I will be trying the Vessin name in a little while. We'll get to it. Don't rush me, guys.
Sorry, Chip in the chat asked if I'm 12. The L word? Yeah. She dropped the L bomb.
Lesbians?
Love, Zach. I think I have a problem saying lesbians.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Get sleeping in the Scott Pilgrim ref.
Mr. Goku said the same thing.
Mr. Goku?
Yeah.
That's an awesome name.
And be sure to stick around, guys, because towards the end of the episode, we are going to have a clip of some amazing interviews that we got, because Yell and I got to go to the red carpet event for the 100th episode, and we got some interviews with the entire main Scooby Gang.
Yeah.
There's some really cool scoops that we got in there, so I'm excited to talk about it.
But like actual scoops.
Yeah, like stuff that like you don't even know. We're gonna talk. So that's gonna be towards the. We're gonna get to that in news and gossip because there's a ton of spoilers in there.
Yeah.
So we'll wait till we get towards predictions for that, because we don't want to ruin anything for anybody who's sensitive to that. So stick through the episode, trust me. So we've gotta do the quote.
Oh yeah.
On top. It is not down on any map. True places never are.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's
from Moby Dick. In case you weren't sure where that was coming from.
Oh, thank you.
Nice.
The quote very much is just it's keying it into this episode, if you will.
Yeah.
Nice. That where they're looking for is not a simple place to find. And it's so important that it wouldn't be just easy to find. It wouldn't be simple, like, oh yeah, X marks the spot. Of course, we find out very quickly that it does. I like that we hit the ground running at the top of this episode. So let's take it off from there, where they are literally like examining the map for patterns.
Yeah.
They put it all together.
Yeah. I love that it was a long, strenuous process. Like for us, it was a matter of like, it was probably like 5 minutes on screen, but every time we came back, they're like, I've been doing this for 3 hours. And I love that it wasn't as simple as, there it is, and then we like go to the Black Forest.
Yeah, I also like that it was a team effort, because I feel like the Scooby Gang has kind of been like, well, we're going to sit over here and worry while you guys go over and do this, or we're going to do this and you guys worry, and this was them all together, and Trouble was there as part of the team.
Yeah.
I love Trouble.
Yeah, Trouble on loan from Hadrian's Wall.
I don't know if they approved her being on loan. She was like, nah, I got stuff to do.
Yeah.
Especially with the way they treated her when she got back.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the Trouble, it's hard to say where she stands in Hadrian's Wall. What do you guys think? Is she like she's clearly not a free agent. Like, she is sort of lower down on the totem pole, right?
I mean, yeah, she's basically just an asset, which kind of harkens back to our earlier conversations about like what it would be like if Nick decided to join Hadrian's Wall, in that we believed that he and the gang could just do what they want and they'd be kind of like consultants. But we see now that like once you join, like despite your personal interest, you have to follow orders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're stuck. Like they are not, there's no like, I'm going to take a weekend off. You know?
Yeah, they don't get holiday pay.
Well, I mean, Nick did that essentially. Went to her and I was like, yeah, I'm going to be out of town this weekend. You don't need to know.
That was great. Yeah. I'm going off the grid for a couple of days. Do I need to know? No.
Cool.
I just, sir, he's your boss. Like, put in for PTO. Like, what is this? Request time off. I don't understand.
Well, I think the two of them have enough of a rapport at this point that, like,
Renard trusts him enough to be like, don't, like, you don't take advantage, but, like, when you say something's important, I know something's up.
Right.
I know the council's dead again, or, like, your aunt came back to life because of a ghost Vessin. I don't know.
Or Juliet's alive. What?
Yeah. Maybe have some time to deal. Your home got busted up again.
You moved to a bunker with a foam.
You moved to a foam bunker with my ex and baby mama, who's also now your baby mama.
That hurts.
Does that complicated. Make, like, yeah, they're
Eskimo
like,
brothers.
I, yes. Well, I was...
That's what you're going
to I was going to... Not term. That part, but, like, having kids with the same mother, does that make... Are they, like... They're not, like, brothers-in-law, but, like, is there an equivalent?
No.
No. No.
All right.
No.
I don't know. It's a weird...
Are you thinking about it?
I'm trying.
I think I still... the fans are going to get mad, but I'm going to say it anyway. I still think we have never confirmed, because I believe in blood tests, that Diana is Sean's. It's never been confirmed scientifically. It's been confirmed. She said, it's yours.
Right.
Which, well, I mean, I think... I guess she could be from another royal...
It's the
parent.
Eric.
Eric.
Yeah, from Eric.
I was like, what was Jim's friend's name?
Yeah. That's. I guess that's also possible.
Yeah.
We know she has royal blood. We're meant to assume it's Renard.
All right.
Either way.
Yeah.
We can keep moving forward.
Okay. Right.
Yeah, people in the chat are confirming that they are Eskimo brothers. Thank you, Inside.
Yeah.
And that one, I think, is answering your question. Twice removed.
They're twice removed. I don't think that's what that means.
No, but it was funny.
Yeah.
Oh boy. Eskimo brothers twice removed. Is that...
That's how families are, right?
Oh god. Yeah,
totally.
Modern family. okay, so yeah. But Nick and Monroe go off to Germany to hunt this stuff down. They say their goodbyes and everything. But, and I want to save that stuff and we'll get to it towards the back. But let's deal with what's going on in Portland in the meantime. Because there's a killer on the loose.
A misunderstood killer.
How is he misunderstood?
Everyone seems to not like him.
Well, I love him.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, I think he's great.
I love the design, like the idea of like a sniper Vessin, like
so cool.
Being a bird of prey.
Yeah.
Like they stopped short of, it was like a falcon Vessin as opposed to like an eagle, because like the eagle eye thing would have just been
too
like,
much. That's on the nose.
Two on the beak?
Yeah.
Oh,
you went there.
I chose not to, but you did it. Yeah, he's in an Uranuti.
A what?
An Uranuti.
A what?
Is that a boy band?
Uranuti.
That's a K-pop band, yeah?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
No, it's a bird that murders people.
Wait, what was Lucian? Because that was also revealed.
Yeah, we finally found out what Lucian is in this process.
Kitty.
Because nobody... nobody can get... You're right that nobody can get along with Marwan. Like, he seems to rub everybody the wrong way. Like, he shows up late. He's like, I gotta make sure this
get
gun works.
I was on time. I was just laying low.
Uh-huh.
He's playing it cool. Like, when you're out to assassinate
Jason
somebody.
Bourne doesn't get this criticism.
You're this right, I'm sorry.
This is...
forgiven.
This is Uranudiest of you to complain that he's late. Like, he's doing his job. But so, like, he shows up and he gets, like, an untraceable gun.
Mm-hmm.
But I really did appreciate how you handled this scene. Just everything, like the way that, like when you pull up in, it's just like, I'm gonna test this gun, make sure there's no, like I'll put it together.
That was a lot of hours of practice. It was a lot of practice.
Did you have experience like taking apart guns and putting them back together before this?
The only time I've ever shot a gun is on TV.
All right.
Until this, and then I was like, well, I should probably shoot a rifle so I know what it feels like.
Right.
But no, I the props department was amazing. I probably spent 15 to 20 hours practicing, like assembling and getting it down, like just working with them. And then the props department guy, Corey, was amazing. He told me what to do to make him look more professional, like a professional sniper would look, and to do this and do that. So they were very technical but helpful.
Did they walk you through like step by step? Like you take the barrel, you screw it on, and then you take this. And
yeah, Corey and I kind of went through, and we spent like the first like 30 minutes figuring out what worked best visually, like what would look the best. And then he just kind of gave me the choreography, and I just practiced it and practiced it and practiced it until I didn't have to think about it as much.
Nice.
Yeah, because this guy, you know, he has more experience than.
You guys filmed this a long time ago. Could you now put together a gun? Because we brought.
No, that's going to be tempting. I mean, I may shoot him.
Him?
I'm not going to clarify.
I like this. This is a fun day.
Sorry,
I just wanted to say, I just wanted to ask, so you're a pretty down-to-earth guy,
yes.
But like your character is super meticulous and really like straightforward. So like what was it like to get in that mindset and kind of really like dive into this guy?
I mean, it's funny because I brought the Jason Bourne thing up because that's kind of what I was looking at. Because when I auditioned for the role, I didn't know anything about it. I auditioned with sides for a different character. Like, they didn't want to tell anybody anything about this guy. So I booked it and still didn't know what my arc was going to be or how involved it was going to be. So I just kind of was like thinking about, okay, assassin, thriller, and that. And then when I got the details, you know, in episode 509, they show that the Marwan's been all across the world causing havoc. And it's like, well, if he's done that and gotten away with it and people don't even know his name, he's a professional. He's meticulous. He knows exactly how he's going to do it. And he doesn't care what anyone else says. He's going to do it his way. And if he doesn't, he's going to walk away. And then what I made with the confrontation with Lucian, for me, the justification for staying was I was like, well, this is Portland. If I can't do my job in Portland, how am I going to go to Cairo? Like, no one's going to hire me if I can't finish it here.
It's a strong choice.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of fun though. But the writers were great. Everyone was great. Everyone gave me feedback, and like it was very collaborative. It was a very collaborative set, which was a lot of fun.
Nice.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like they're very welcoming in, even to the people who are going to murder. We see him scout out. We see him murder a couple beat cops, or at least one.
Whoa,
at least
don't
one.
Murder him?
That's right. It was just an assault. Near death.
He
near
let
death.
Him live.
Yeah, I vowed and let go. That's hard.
Do you guys think that was so? That seems like it was probably intentional. Do you think the strategy is basically so that people don't come after him, start looking too hard, right?
The strategy was to vogue to get my talons out,
yeah,
so that I can make it look like an animal attack. Otherwise, if I kill him, then they're going to be searching the city for a killer. But now he just looks like a, no offense to the actor, like a dumb cop that followed a bear and got bit. You know,
trawl a bear through central Portland.
A bear with talons? Yeah.
Shh, don't look for logic.
Well, I don't know animals.
It looks like Griff.
Yeah, I think you beat me to it. Thank you.
Yes, Griffin. Wait, no, griffins are usually good, so I'd be a wyvern.
Oh, right? Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
There was a griffin on the other side of the door, and the cop got beat up.
Yeah, happens every other week in Portland.
Did you say what kind of kitty Lucian was?
Well, we haven't gotten to Lucian yet.
Guy like cats.
We can share Lucian. Bring him in.
But he does go to Lucian because we confirm that this is Black Claw entirely, and Lucian is very much behind whatever person at this point who is going to be murdered.
Because we have to argue.
Yeah, and we do have to debate that. But Lucian finally vogues in front of him. We got this awesome badass shot of the two of you like faced off.
Yeah.
Because Lucian is a very powerful Vessin that we've seen before. Mm. It's a mauvais dent. mauvais dent. Huh. It's French
for saber tooth.
Yeah.
Wow. It's a kitty.
It looks like it's spelled like mauvais dentes, but it's mauvais dent. It's a saber-toothed white tiger, basically. Right. He's going to mess you. Incredibly powerful, going to mess you up. And Yell just wants to make him purr.
I really do want to make him purr.
But yeah, it. So the big contention in the scene is that Lucian hands Marwan a picture of Renard.
Yes. Correct.
He doesn't say out loud, kill this person, or this is your target. There's no words exchanged except a handoff of a picture. Uh-huh. Then by the end of this episode...
Sorry, Grim Maniac says that whatever it is in French means bad teeth in French.
Evil teeth.
It's bad teeth. Makes sense, because, the canines, you know, it's got to be hard to clean for us.
Thank you, as always, Germania.
And everyone else is agreeing that it's a kitty.
An extremely deadly kitty.
Adorable.
Yeah. But so we see that the target is supposedly Renard. That's what we're meant to take away from that scene. But by the end of the episode, he shoots Dixon.
Mm-hmm.
What do you guys think happened? Did he change his decision on the fly?
Birdman on the fly.
What do you guys think happened?
Your theory is in my head now. His theory. Right. So I was like, why would he shoot Dixon? His person was supposed to be Renard. Maybe he's a double agent. And then Zach points out that maybe the idea was that they shot Dixon so that Renard could step in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That, like, Dixon, with Dixon out, it seems... it makes a lot of sense that Renard would fill in, because they've just, like, completely discredited the other candidate. So now you've got, like, a void in this election for, like, a good candidate. Renard's right there. Miss Wood, the Vixen campaign manager,
Rachel,
has been building him up in the public eye by having him do so many speaking engagements on behalf of Dixon. So he's primed to take over the spot.
Also, it was very clear that her phone call, air quotes on the phone call, was...
she's in on whatever's going on.
That was the sign. That was the cue.
Right.
Yeah. She just, like, conveniently takes a phone call, steps away from the stage at the exact moment of assassination.
I don't believe that her phone rang.
I actually do. I think that my theory was that she had called an audible. Like originally, Renard was the intended victim, or not victim, the intended victim of Lucien, and then she was like, no, this is my plan. So, like, to me, that means that she might even be above Lucien.
Who did she call?
She either called Lucien or, now.
I think that's you.
The only problem with that is
he didn't answer the phone.
We were watching, we watched Hanano, and we were watching her at the same time, and there's no... He's already got the gun up and aimed.
Bluetooth, bro.
We couldn't see it through all the feathers.
Vessin Bluetooth.
We just couldn't see it through all the feathers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure. That works.
All right.
But yeah, so, I mean, that's sort of where we are at that point. So there's a lot. I mean, there's a lot of options there. That we could spend all day talking about that, but we have so much else in this episode to talk about.
It was a busy episode.
Because across the pond,
way across the pond,
yeah, and then through a bunch of land
in the forest.
Well, they go looking for this church.
They meet a church mouse, Nick and Monroe.
They did meet a church mouse.
They really did. No, it was a great. I saw that and I laughed. I laughed really hard.
I also was like, "That's a thing, right?" I don't know churches.
Church mice?
That's a thing.
Is it?
Yeah, yes, it is.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Sure.
Is a church mouse not a thing?
But so this, they were looking for a church from the thousands or 1100s or so.
1200s.
The time of the Fourth Crusade.
Yes.
Because that's where the seven knights, the seven grim knights.
Number quarter.
Buried it. It's supposedly this church. They eventually follow the X on the steeple. But why would you trust anybody, a German, in a church? That's just so many factors of don't trust people.
Wow! Here's what you don't trust. You don't trust that they came in and the church mouse ran away screaming a grim a grim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Da plan. He runs away. And then the priest comes out and is automatically speaking English and then goes, "Oh, you're American. Why are you speaking English, sir?
Looking at Nick, maybe not Monroe, but looking at Nick, you're like, you look like an American.
Wait, he doesn't look German to you?
No, not at all.
No, he's got that brooding white boy thing going for him. That's American.
He's super Italian.
You could also imagine, like, he could hear them from the other room, even if he didn't know what they were saying. Like, you hear an accent,
right? And they did initially call out when they got inside, because they didn't see anyone, so they were like, hello, hello.
I forgot about that.
Whatever.
So
the guy, but the priest didn't come out. Priest? The guy didn't come out until the church mouse left.
Well, the church mouse ran and got him.
The priest.
Right. So the priest didn't hear them speak English. He assumed. He knew. He heard about the Grimm from Portland. All the way in Germany. He's part of Black Claw.
I don't think he's necessarily part of Black Claw.
I'm out.
But he is.
Go back to Meisner.
He is getting ready to. He's getting ready to chase after them and, like, lynch the Grimm. Yeah. He gets a gang of guys to go kill this guy because he's a Grimm. Yeah. Like,
It's totally appropriate.
Where, am I off base?
No, you're good. No. Keep going.
Very accurate.
Keep going.
Yeah. He formed a lynch mob, and then they all went out into the forest, and we're like, we're gonna get
him. That's what they did, though.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, church mouse, go get a bunch of guys. We're going to kill somebody.
Yeah.
And like I would think like Nick would be a little more cautious, like bury the car in the woods at this point. Or do you think like they're so far away from any threats that he doesn't think there's people coming to get him?
I
was gonna say it just looked like they were in the middle of absolute nowhere.
Yeah.
So I think he could hide it, but then they may not find it.
That's fair. They don't have like a good GPS tracker necessarily.
What they did, they were using the iPad GPS to get to the spot.
Yeah.
Oh, they were.
Totally using GPS.
They could have marked on a map like, okay, we were here with the car.
We parked the car here.
Yeah.
They could have Ubered, theoretically.
Do they have Ubers in what set town were they in?
Woolsock?
Yeah.
I would hope they have it in Germany, because Uber is a German word.
Minor detail.
That would be really funny if they don't, actually. But yeah, so I mean they get there, and then like by the end of the episode they have fallen into a chamber under the ground. Monroe found the edge of a foundation rock, a rock that didn't belong.
And then it was kind of National Treasury where it like opened and poof, they fell.
Yeah. It's still, I mean, it was cool. Like, I'm excited. Like, I love that stuff. I love this, like, hunting through ancient artifacts thing.
Oh, do you love history?
A little bit. I might have talked about it before.
Never
noticed. We've got to make sure that we talk about Natalind.
Oh, yeah. Because we'd get killed if we didn't.
Did something happen this episode?
Yeah, you know, they might have kissed a little bit and totally gone all the way.
I feel like we already talked about this.
Yeah, we did.
They said the L word and then they did it. Oh, the L word. I get the joke now.
Did you really not get that before?
The show. I forgot about the show.
Scott Pilgrim, honey.
Yeah.
No, but I started thinking about the show. All right, sorry guys, my head went somewhere else.
But so, how do you guys feel by the end? It's like, are you after this whole thing comes up? Because we got a lot of flashbacks to like remind us how terrible Adeline was on this show.
Yeah, why did he have to have the flashback about her being terrible afterwards when they're laying in bed?
Because after the hormones die down, you have time to think it through and be like,
the guilt sets in a little bit.
Yeah.
And they're not doing it right.
That's the thing. Like, it was so good that he totally didn't think about it until he'd already fallen asleep and woke him back up.
Right.
And then he's like, oh, this woman curled up on my shoulder, totally like erased my ex-fiance's memory so that she couldn't remember me, and then fell in love with my boss. She tried to drive my best friend nuts with a bunch of evil witch cookies.
Yeah.
She tried to murder my aunt. A few things.
A few little things.
Yeah.
Isn't it her fault that Wu was eating carpet?
Yeah. Again, with the cookies.
With the magic cookies.
Yeah. Wu ate one of her cookies and then ate
carpet.
Ate his own carpet because of it.
This is good water.
Oh, man. I thought I was going to be the inappropriate one.
No.
It's really going to be real difficult on this podcast.
No. I've said it before. I think the way the show has built up the relationship and made it awkward at first and have them grow has been really great, because it would have been awful if this was where we started the season. And so I appreciate that it's been built up and that there's awkwardness and that they're remembering things. And I appreciate that the show is doing the relationship justice. What? Oh, that it's Buffy.
That is a brilliant reference.
Mr. Goku Jr. says that this is Buffy and Spike all over again.
I was pissed about that.
But that's a very fair comparison. Like, somebody who turns evil because of a change in their, spoiler alert for 10 years ago, Buffy. But when he gets a soul back, is very much the same thing as when Adeline loses her Hexen Beast side. Because, like, we've talked about a lot that, like, it seems that being a Hexen Beast has a very negative effect on who you are. It makes you a more dangerous, more violent person, as we saw when Juliet became a Hexen Beast. She became a completely different person.
And Saeed says, everyone has problems in relationships.
Fair point.
I think you're simplifying, but okay.
What I would say in response to that is that I would say the Hexen Beast thing is they're no longer, they lose their humanity to me. They're not people anymore. So they don't act like people anymore. Like a Vessin, you know, they don't act like people all the time because they're not fully. Like, they're something else. So they think differently, and, you know, like you see it in war, which is terrible, but, you know, you dehumanize the enemy. And that's easier to do if it's another species. So it's easy for them to almost look at everyone else as cows. Like, that's kind of how, like, I was taking it with the role, is, like, I just looked at everyone that I saw like they were a dumb cow. They were not my burger yet, and it was making me mad.
But that's fair. I mean, if they're not the same... I mean, it's like, it's different lines, but, like, if they're not the same species, like, the way that, like, when Nick and Monroe are on the Broad trip, and they're talking about... this being Monroe's family, like, historically his family's hunting grounds. Mm-hmm. Like, they were hunting people. But to them, it was just, that was their food source. Mm-hmm. And food chain, they were more powerful. There was nothing wrong with that.
Nope.
Mm-hmm. And same thing with the Grimms. Like, that it was their role in the food chain to kill all the Vessin, so they're going to do it. And it's only now that, like, people are starting to challenge that idea, and that's why the whole world is going nuts with Black Claw and Nick and all kinds of insanity. I did like on the Broad trip that they got that Monroe, like, sort of called out everything about their relationship. It's like, well, it's not the first time.
Right. I love when Nick is like, yeah, because the first time I thought it was Juliet, and then the second time it was Juliet, and now she's the mother of my children.
Yeah.
So, of course, it's different.
Child.
Sorry.
I want to know, what was the impetus for him saying that? Like, just starting the whole... Like, I had said... Why bring that up?
Because they're,
like,
besties. At this moment?
Yeah. I think he'd probably been...
Is that you and your besties don't talk about those things?
Not in the middle of Germany.
I will say that was totally a real moment, though, because I've been the Monroe in that situation where I'm, like, I'm hanging out with my friend, we're, like, doing some work or whatever, like, just, like... getting, like, just talk about something completely different, and then all of a sudden, like, I had sex with this person that we both know. And when it went, I remember when that happened, it's not you.
I'm the Nick.
Big surprise.
No, but when he said that to me, I literally froze for, like, a solid minute. Like, and just didn't respond while I processed the information.
Well, there's no way to really, like, easily broach that subject unless you, like, try to beat around the bush to get it to it. You'd be like, guys, you ever think about sex? Speaking of sex, like...
You know this friend of yours that, like, yeah, he's real nice. You're always hanging out. Yeah, here's the thing I gotta tell you.
It was... It's better just get it out and deal with the reaction.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you're right, because he did get it in, so he has to get it out.
Nice. Good one.
Oh, God. Yeah. But,
the,
I mean...
By the way, the chat roll's loving you. Loving you.
But speaking of Adeline's children, I think we got some really interesting information from yesterday's red carpet, and I wanted, because I want enough time to talk about it, so we've got, like, a quick little couple minutes of these interviews, so Why don't we, Steven, if you could roll that for us, let's take a look.
Spoiler alert.
Oh, yeah,
congratulations,
big spoiler.
100 episodes.
Thank you so much. We're very happy.
You're happy. The fans are happy. I don't care if you guys are happy.
Yeah, but we get paid on top of it all, so we're like doubly happy.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
We last night got to see what the fans have been waiting for.
Well, certain fans have been waiting for, and other fans like, please get that off the television. But yeah, it was a biggie.
When are we gonna get more information about her? Because right now she is very stern. No, she's very, like, what's the word I'm looking for?
I would say calculated. Yes. And almost robotic. Yeah. And it's a choice because she is so careful to not really get emotional or really get too involved with her past life. And right now she's very mission oriented and she wants to just get the job done.
Rosalie is supposed to be headed to a darker place, especially with Tony, who keeps calling and mailing. When are we gonna meet Tony?
You're gonna meet him on the 100th episode.
Oh,
yeah. What? Boom.
Is it safe to assume that Tony is Black Claw?
That I don't know. I can't say. Okay. I don't know. But he's nothing but trouble. That I will say.
There's a plan in place. Assassinations don't just happen. Mm-hmm. There's normally things in place, and those things will present themselves in the next episode, and then continue throughout the rest of the season. And it's basically. Renard's going to be faced with some very interesting, very tempting choices. And if he chooses them, he may have to turn his back on the gang. So we'll see what happens.
So many storylines get blown up in the 100th episode. Like, there really isn't any teasing. There's, like, actual just deliverance on, you know, three or four pretty big plot lines. So
yes, Diane is back. Diane is awesome. She's aged again, but the actress playing her is, her name is Hannah Lloyd, and she's great. She's great looking. She just looks really good, and she's creepy and kind of perfect for what they're going for. It's cool. The way they bring her back is really cool. Yeah.
He's married to the job, but he's about to be married to something else. So yeah.
What does that mean?
I don't know. What does that mean?
What has been the hardest thing for you to say?
You know, that's...
We'll start a series called Who's Clues.
Absolutely. Before you read the script, what did you think was in the box?
Definitely not...
What it was?
Have you guys seen it?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. I almost gave that away.
Fairies?
It's definitely ancient.
Okay.
That was a good, terrible, terrible tease.
Which box?
The box that the keys led us to.
Oh, yeah, that box.
What is that SNL skit?
It's the best one.
Oh, that would have nice.
Been amazing.
Nice.
I got my in the box. No, no. It's
Whose would have been in the box?
I had no idea. I thought they were going to do like another like false reveal, like another key. You know? But there's something in the box. I didn't know.
You didn't know.
No.
Just tune in. Like, we've done 99, and they've all been great, and they've all been satisfying. So just, you don't need a tease. Just check it out. Just check it out.
Awesome.
Oh, nice. So a lot of good information there.
Yeah. People in the chat were saying that Hannah Lloyd is 21. So the
yeah,
actress
Hannah Lloyd,
who plays...
This is not, as far as I can see, been announced.
No, anywhere
officially.
Else.
But we got it.
What? That's like, official.
Yeah.
AfterBuzz TV exclusive. Bah,
bah, you're bah, welcome. Bah. No guns.
Sorry. But yeah, so I guess call that breaking news or whatever you want. But looks like Hannah Lloyd will be our Diana, which is like basically confirming our predictions from like a year ago.
When she was born.
Yeah, which is like, we're going to super age this person.
Good.
Because yeah. Like, how much can you really, you can't really have a baby around aging in real time.
Also, people were really worried about the idea of having two babies on the show. And this takes care of that real simple.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's not really a lot that we've seen Hannah Lloyd in, as far as I can tell. She was in An episode of NTSF SDSV SUV.
Oh, nice.
It's an Adult Swim show.
Yeah.
Some others.
It also looks like she won a Young Artist Award. Everyone's talking about that.
Okay.
And there was other scoop that we may not have caught, which was Sasha was talking about Renard and what's happening for him, and that he might have to choose a side and turn his back on the Scooby Gang.
Yeah.
Which is huge and totally goes with your theory, which makes me angry.
Yeah, I mean, if they're gonna post him up to run for mayor of Portland, that would seem to imply that he's going to become a part of Black Claw. If that's their game, is to take over. If
that's you, sir.
That's my mother. I'm sorry.
She's watching. She's continue. So excited.
If they're taking out Dixon in order to pump up Renard, they have to think that he's going to join them, right? Or that he's going to be their puppet.
I agree. Especially since they know that he's willing to kind of do dirty work, that like leads them to believe that he's willing to kind of do what's not necessarily ethical in order to further his own cause, which is what I imagine Black Claw is looking for.
Yeah.
Boo had a really crazy theory that I'm going to read it. Boo suggested that if Diana's all grown up now, maybe she starts looking at Meisner differently.
Oh, that's weird. That's super weird.
I'm super down.
She's effectively three, like not even 3 years old.
She's an adult.
No.
Okay. Did no one watch the 4400? She was an adult. All right.
I missed that show.
She only
I missed that show. Too.
Yeah.
I didn't. Yeah.
I love that show.
Regardless of how old she looks, she will only have had 2 years worth of life experience.
I don't want to take her side, but if she's aging that quickly, maybe she needs to like do something now before it keeps.
Yeah, yeah, she could die next year.
If she dies at five, then maybe she should get something.
Thank you.
It's like the movie. It's like Robin Williams and Jack.
Oh, too soon.
Oh. So many memories.
Also, yes, her looking like an adult is no excuse. I also lead the SVU after show here. Just gonna throw that out there.
But yeah, I mean, the idea, like, so Diana coming back is like, she might be one of the most powerful, she might be the only one to rival Eve in terms of raw power.
Oh, that'd be so cool.
Because we're talking about somebody like, Eve has that like created Hex and Beast power, but Diana has Princess Diana. Let's not forget that she's royal.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Princess Diana has Hex and Beast powers, and she also has the blood of a royal, which for whatever reason we still don't really fully understand. Is incredibly powerful and valuable on a global scale. Like, the royals were willing to burn cities to the ground to get this child.
Do you think we will get answers? Because they said that in the next episode, everyone kept agreeing that in the 100th, it's just reveals and answers.
Yeah,
and
that was my favorite part of all those interviews, is that there's the confirmations that, like, we're not gonna get like a red herring in the boxes that the keys are just like lead to another clue. I mean, I'm sure it will open up other questions, but that it will be a reveal instead of just another piece.
And that what I think makes me wonder is, are we going to ever figure out what is special about the royals? If not, probably not next episode because they're revealing so much. Will they reveal by the end of the season?
I don't think that that's going to be addressed just based on... I think it was asked during the San Diego Comic-Con panel last year, and the showrunner said that the royal storyline, as far as this season has been dealt with, we're not dealing with the royals this season.
No, I know.
I had a theory about that, in that, especially now that we have the origin of the Grimms being that it was seven royal knights, so you could assume that maybe the royals are the ones who the Grimms worked for, so they may have some kind of power over the Grimms themselves.
Oh, interesting. I feel like we're already there, so we might as well head into it.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Oh, yeah, I sort of just treated, I was like, in my mind, we were in predictions already.
We didn't have a sound cue. I wanted the sound cue.
All right. But yeah, so I mean, next week we're gonna get the boxes open. Oh my god, so much stuff.
Yeah.
I can't even begin to describe, because next week is going to be a massive episode.
Yeah.
And I'm still blonde.
Yeah. How did that feel to transform like that?
You know, it was cool until I showed it like pictures of it to my mother, and she was like, oh, they made you ugly. I was like, oh, insecurity, thanks, Mom.
Cool.
Oh, awesome. So
I only have to see that on national television, not a big deal. Don't worry about my ego.
Well, you look just like a badass in Uranudi form.
Thank you.
So
thank you.
So I think it balances out.
Yeah,
at the end of the day.
I like his pronunciation.
So,
I just like it.
So we know we're going to see you next week.
Yes.
Is there anything else that you've got going on? Any other projects or stuff you want to just plug?
I just did a thing on Recovery Road. Watch it. They were fantastic. Oh, yeah. Hilarious. There's a dude in that was in Mean Girls. He was hilarious. He's hilarious in this show. That project's great. Still waiting to see. I did a pilot. Mother, I will call you back. I always do. It's not like I'm a bad son, I promise. I did a pilot for HBO called Westworld, and I've been waiting for like a year and a half to see that. And we keep getting teasers about that. I want to see it so bad.
Heard all kinds of stuff about Westworld.
But so. At this point, I don't think I'm going to be in it anymore, because we shot that in like August of 2014. I think so.
It sounds right from what I read. The trades.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah. So they've had to do so much storylines, but that's star studded. So keep your eyes open for that project. That no matter what, it's going to be beautiful and amazing.
Nice.
Besides that, no. Just Grimm fans are awesome. Like, you guys have been so nice, so friendly. I'll be live tweeting again next week. You guys are hilarious and funny and just really sweet overall. Like, is what the Grimm family seems like.
Aww. That's why we love our Grimm fans.
We do.
They're the best.
Yeah.
Where can everyone find you on Twitter so they can find you?
It's pretty difficult. It's Joshua Sawtell for Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all the same.
Cool.
Just nice. My name. I like to keep things boring.
All right. Well, guys, we'll be back next week to talk about the 100th episode of Grimm.
Yeah,
so until then, real quick, we got to wrap out. Yael Teagle, where can everyone find you?
Everyone can find me online at Yael Teagle. That's YAELTYGIL. And the full interviews are on the AfterBuzz YouTube channel. So check out the full interviews, because there's scoop that we didn't show you here. Also, new podcast, Intimate Interrogations, free on iTunes. Check it out. Go.
You can find me at Tauri J. It's TauriJay.
I'm at on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube at that Zach Wilson, TheZachWilson. Be sure to tune in on Tuesday night. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is back.
Yay!
Can't wait to talk about it. We'll be back for the 100th episode next week. Guys, I'm Zach Wilson. Thanks for geeking out with us.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.